accident. Wow. The only problem was he was that strong a golfer. I could hardly make the shafts react because they were so stiff.
Yeah.
And in those days, he had they have very, very tight wound golf balls, and I could hardly compress the ball either. So, gee. But all in all, it was an experience.
Oh, what an experience. Fantastic. And well told,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Oh, that was great. Yeah. There you go.
Arnold Palmer.
That's as big a star as we've heard, I would say. Great call, Paul. 1353 53 is the open line number. Yeah, I'm writing him down, We've got the news coming now, Raymond. After the news, we'll go Leo Schlink to run us through our hopes at the Australian Open. Sports update with Tanya. And Phil Moss will talk some footballing updates.
I'm Sarah Womby. The federal government has revised the citizenship code to make it compulsory for all councils to hold citizenship ceremonies on Australia Day. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has told the Sunday Telegraph he believes all councils who are granted the privilege of conducting citizenship ceremonies should be required to conduct a ceremony on Australia Day. Under changes to the Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Code to be introduced in 2020, councils must hold a second citizenship ceremony on Australian Citizenship Day in September. Councils will have the opportunity to provide feedback on the proposed changes to the code. A man wanted over the stabbing of another at a Melbourne apartment has died in police custody. Police say 35-year-old David Perry was arrested on the Great Ocean Road at Bellbray about 7:30 on Friday night and fell unconscious soon after but was unable to be revived. Perry was arrested the same day a warrant was issued for his arrest over a stabbing at a St Kilda apartment early on Friday morning. A 34-year-old man is under police guard in hospital after he allegedly went on a stabbing spree at a party in Sydney that left six teenagers with knife wounds. Police were called to Gilroy Road in Tarramurra just before midnight, where they found a man with head and upper body injuries along with six teenagers aged between 15 and 19 with varying stab wounds. A 17-year-old boy is undergoing surgery at Royal North Shore Hospital for stab wounds to his throat, chest and abdomen, while his alleged attacker is under guard at Westmead Hospital. Victorian emergency services are continuing to control an ongoing fire near Rosedale in Gippsland as temperatures are expected to climb into the 40s. Over 200 firefighters are working to control the blaze. Incident controller Andy Gillam has told the ABC crews are preparing.
The fire crew are focused on getting a range of tasks done leading into the hot weather. We're expecting to see temperatures of around 40 degrees on the period Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Briefly, a man has been charged with assaulting a female police officer after a crash on the Gold Coast on Friday night, and police are scaling back the search around Alice Springs for a missing German tourist. Chinese telecom equipment maker Huawei says it's terminated the employment of a Chinese worker arrested on spying allegations in Poland. Huawei said in a statement today that its employees' alleged actions have no relation to the company. The BBC's Robin Grant has more.
Wang Weijing is accused of espionage. He was detained along with a Polish national. It's been reported that he has links with China's intelligence agencies. China's government was quick to say it was highly concerned about the arrest, urging Polish authorities to protect the legitimate rights of those concerned. Within days, though, Huawei has decided to sack him, saying his alleged actions have no relation to the company.
A partial US government shutdown over President Donald Trump's demand to fund a wall along the US-Mexico border has entered its 22nd day, making it the longest ever in US history. And Democratic Republic of Congo presidential runner-up Martin Fayulu has filed a court challenge to recent election results, asking for a recount. This is News. Mixed results for the Aussies on the final day of the Sydney International. Esports Paul Walsh has all the details.
19-year-old Alex de Minaur has secured his first ATP title when he defeated Andreas Seppi in straight sets in the final of the Sydney International. What made this feat even more extraordinary was that de Minaur had to first defeat Gilles Simon in his semi-finals match 8 hours earlier. The young Australian, now ranked 29 in the world, dropped his first service game but then regained his composure to break back and take the first set 7-5. The second set was even tougher. However, Dimonar responded to every Seppi challenge and took the second and deciding set in a 7-6 tiebreaker. Earlier, Ash Barty got the early jump on Petra Kvitova. However, the two-time Wimbledon champion showed both her composure and talent to take the next two sets and the title 1-6, 7-5, 7-6. This is Paul Walsh for Air Sport.
In the cricket, Australia has beaten India by 34 runs at the SCG in the first one-day international. In the Women's Big Bash, there were wins for the Adelaide Strikers and the Melbourne Renegades. In other news, Steve Smith will undergo elbow surgery on Tuesday, almost certainly ruining the suspended superstar's hopes of an international comeback in March. Melbourne Victory has beaten the Newcastle Jets 2-1 in the A-League. The Central Coast Mariners remain winless from 12 matches, losing to Wellington Phoenix 3-2. And in the women's game, Newcastle defeated Perth 3-1. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Sauvignon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Want to make your new Hotondo home even more perfect? Choose one of Hotondo Home's no-cost summer bonus packages worth over $10,000. Visit hotondo.com.au today. Conditions apply. In Alexandria, we've got a crash on Henderson Road at Wyndham Street. Traffic affected in both directions. In Ingleburn, if you're heading south on the Hume approaching Brooks Road, look out for a boat canopy. And in Chatswood, we've got lane closures northbound on Hampton Road approaching Mowbray Road for roadworks. Tonight's the night the celebrities enter the jungle. Be watching for the chance to win 20K. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Premieres 7:30 tonight on 10. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to a winning day. Racing HQ is the complete package of all the day's vital racing information.
She'll get a lovely run just in behind the speed.
She's got a win in her very soon.
From 10, we'll preview the major New South Wales meet. And you'll hear from all the newsmakers, trainers, jockeys and owners. Racing HQ is required listening every morning on Sky Sports Radio. Summer is a great time to play catch-up, whether it's with the cricket, tennis, or on those projects around the house. Get inspired for your home reno with Wideline Windows and Doors. Whether it's awnings at Avalon, sliding windows at Seven Hills, or bifolds at Broadmeadow, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Take a closer look at the stylish range of Wideline Windows and Doors. Get started today by visiting wideline.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather is fine today, and we're looking forward to another great day in Sydney town. A top temperature of 27 degrees, mostly cloudy. Winds southerly 15 to 25 kilometres an hour, tending southeasterly in the middle of the day, then becoming light in the evening. Raymond, what about at Waverton? On the North Shore and in Wellington for the Wellington boot.
Currently at, 23 degrees at Waverton. Now, Wellington, good morning to Michelle nearby in Dubbo. Hot day, as Michelle did indicate to us earlier this morning.
She did.
Wellington's heading for a top temperature of 39 degrees, hot and sunny at Wellington.
Now one by Carlos Rogic. Gets rid of one defender. Whips one in.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Fair a snapshot of the sport that's been happening around the country and around the globe that's been involving Australians. Good to see them have a 3-0 win in the Asian Cup after the disappointment of the first game against Jordan. They'll play Syria, and that'll be on Wednesday, early in the morning, Wednesday morning. They are the favourites for that one, $1.50. Big hour coming up. We'll have Leo Schlink on very shortly to talk Australian Open tennis. Sports update with Tanya. Phil Moss to get across the world of football. Track length scale from tab.com.au. And, of course, your calls this morning on 1353 53, and we're asking people to tell us about their brush with fame and on the back of my two boys getting out there at the SCG yesterday. And
great memories from those.
Singing the national anthem.
Austin and River, they're going to talk about that for years to come.
Years and years. We just had Arnold Palmer, Paul, saying that he played a round of golf or a few holes of golf with Arnold Palmer's golf sticks after caddying for him back in 1967-68. Some good calls have come in as well, and as highlighted by Bob's call in 2003. Darren Beeman came and saw his sick youngster and said a little prayer for him.
And not surprising.
Yeah, which is fantastic. 1353-53, keep those calls coming in. Time now to talk some tennis. We're buoyant about this summer of tennis, aren't we? There is so much good news around from an Australian point of view, highlighted by the fact that Alex de Minaur played two games yesterday. In the end, the final of the Sydney International, he beat Andreas Seppi 7-5, 7-6, including a second game of the day after the semi-final, and, of course, his first ATP tournament. Yep. So
in his hometown. Fantastic effort.
In his hometown. So, yeah, looking, unfortunately, Ash Barty beaten in the women's final. Let's have a chat with Leo about what he expects to happen over the next couple of weeks down there in Melbourne. G'day, Leo.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Leo.
Thanks again for your time. You're always good with for our listeners, and we do appreciate it. I think the big news from a tennis point of view, apart from the great performances of the Australians, Andy Murray's decision to tearfully announce that he was going to be stepping away from the game. Oh, we mentioned it last week on the program, Leo. He's clearly inconvenienced by that hip injury, but what a guy who's been able to squeeze the lemon throughout the course of his career.
Absolutely. I think Darren Cahill used the analogy of someone who empties the bucket, and that's what he's done for his entire career, someone who came from the most unconventional background when you think that he grew up in the Scottish Highlands, and there he is going off to Spain and really learning the hard way how to play tennis, and such a committed person. You know, basically Great Britain's first male champion in almost 80 years.
Yeah.
He ends up winning 3 majors, 2 Olympic gold medals, wins Davis Cup for the Brits for the first time in ages, and became this huge beacon for them. I really hope there's a legacy beyond Andy's career, because he deserves as much as that, because he had the respect of everybody with the way he played. And when you think how close he came 5 times at the Australian Open, 5 times in the final, 3 of them at least he got soundly beaten, had issues in several of them, but just a great champion. To win Wimbledon twice, what that meant to Great Britain was phenomenal, and just a great competitor.
He wants to try and make Wimbledon again this year, and that looks like being his swan song. What can he do at the Australian Open, and can this hip, I guess, hold up for Wimbledon, Leo?
I'm hoping it will, Ray. I think he deserves to have that swan song at his home tournament, his home Grand Slam. But in terms of this tournament, I wouldn't write him off, but he's got a very tough opponent in Roberto Bautista Agut tomorrow night at Melbourne Arena, and that's no pushover. Bautista Agut is the 22nd seed, and he rolled Novak Djokovic in Doha in the first tournament of the year. So these are the type of circumstances that in the past, the old Andy Murray, you know mentally he's going to be there tomorrow night. Physically, it's a matter of how restricted he is now, and we saw in that practice match with Novak Djokovic the other day, 6-1, 4-1, and he was just so animated and disappointed himself after that. I just hope he can be competitive tomorrow night.
Let's talk about some of the Aussies, Leo, because this is exciting. Alex de Minaur might be a little early for him, 19 years of age, and maybe not the weapons that we associate with men's tennis right now. But Ash Barty, beaten in 3 sets by Petra Kvitova last night, but the way she's been playing and the attitude that she has, what impact do you think she can have on this women's side of the draw at the Aussie Open?
I think if she gets on a roll, and she clearly is on one now, we saw her do something similar leading into Wimbledon last year when she was in finals and really super competitive in everything. And I think at Wimbledon last year, she came unstuck because she was in all three disciplines. She was in mixed as well as doubles and singles. And I think if she measures her effort here, I'm not sure what plan she has for mixed, but I'm hoping she's not playing it.
Right.
But she can really shape it because she's got the type of game that in any match against any opponent, if she gets more forehand, backhand, she's going to be winning the match normally. And she's such a brilliant player to watch because she brings that attack in quite a different. She's not out there just being a counterpuncher and hoping her opponent's going to make a mistake.
Mm.
It's on her racket she takes the initiative, and that's why I think she's so feared. And she's such a beautiful ball striker and such a great eye that she's one of the people that you ask any of the top coaches, there's a spot in the top five for her. We're not sure yet if she's quite ready for it, but don't be surprised she does, because on the women's side of the game, in the past eight Grand Slams, we've had eight different champions. So
right.
If that trend keeps going, Ash is right in the frame.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. She's great to watch, as is Alex Dimonor, Leo, because he just chases everything. You love a bloke who fights as hard as he does. But he's got it tough tomorrow. He's got to play at 3 o'clock at this stage, off the back of having to play two matches yesterday. Fortunately, they both were straight sets wins, although his win in the final against Seppi was closer than it was a close contest, went deep into the night. Why couldn't the scheduling be a little bit more flexible to allow someone like him who's had a tough day in Sydney, has to travel interstate and then get ready to play basically day one, 3 o'clock?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, and Ash is in the same situation.
Yeah.
She's got she didn't have to play backup matches on the same day, but I suspect it was the pressure of international broadcasting which prompted Tennis Australia to say that the order of play would be what it was in terms of top half and bottom half when they were playing, and that was announced on Friday. You would have thought that in retrospect it would have been ideal for Alex. The only thing I would say is that he's going to go into the match with Pedro Sousa knowing he's hitting the ball really well,
mm-hmm.
and at 19, he's going to recover really well. So today is going to be a light day. It's not ideal, absolutely not. The good thing is if he gets through this match tomorrow, we won't see him again until Wednesday. It'd be a really good chance for him to put his feet up, and hopefully any niggles that he has, he can iron those out.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. It's a very... it's a short market, isn't it? Because Novak Djokovic is such a dominant figure in there. Do you see anyone beating Novak this year at the Australian Open, Leo?
I know Ray will be delighted to hear this, but a certain bloke called Federer. I reckon that the accusations of favouritism have started already about Roger's scheduling, and sure enough, where do we find him tomorrow night? He's playing in the night session. It's going to be hot in Melbourne, but the fact is that Roger Federer fills stadiums around the world because of his star power. And if the broadcast is going into Europe, there's no point putting it on first thing in the morning. Let's have it on at night where the Europeans can watch it. So if Roger gets on a roll, and we've seen him do it here and we've seen him written off before, I get the feeling that this will be his last full season, if not his last full season.
Wow.
I see him being a challenge. Zverev, until he hurt his ankle, was a challenge, and Rafa.
Mm.
But in these quick conditions, and it's going to be quick in the heat, Kevin Anderson, Marin Cilic, John Isner, three massive guys with huge serves, they can shape the tournament as well.
Mm-hmm. What about the Australian men's, Leo? Obviously, Dimonor seeded 27, but Kyrgios and Tomic, they're both playing pretty good tennis at the moment. John Millman, we know, is a great scrapper. How are the Australian men stacking up, and who can go deep into the tournament?
Yeah, I think Alex is the one with his draw. Obviously, Nick playing Milos Raonic, they've had some big battles. They're 3-3 in their head-to-head. Bernie Tomic has got Marin Cilic. That's a really daunting draw. Bernie, in the form he's in against anybody else, is backing to win. But against Marin, it's a different situation altogether. John Millman, as you said, he's got Del Bonis. He's someone that he can beat. And Matt Edson, he had a fantastic year last year. He's another player. He can do some damage as well, but I feel for poor old James Duckworth. I think his last three at the majors, he's copped really big players. I think he's got something like Cilic, Zverev, and Andy Murray in order. So you just hope for Ducky that after all the work he's done to come back from those five surgeries, that he's top of break. It's not to be this time. Who knows what can happen.
Mm. All right, on the spot, Leo. Your last dollar goes on who?
Novak Djokovic. and I think Serena will create history as well.
Serena, okay.
Wow, so Serena, both top of the market, $2.20, Novak Djokovic. Serena is $5. But I think, again, that goes back to the point you made about just how open that it has been from a women's point of view over the last eight Grand Slam tournaments. Angelique Kerber at $8. Ash Barty, not far away in the market, at $13 either. Why Serena?
I just think with her record here, she's just, and last year coming back after childbirth, got injured at the French Open, finals of Wimbledon in the US, played well at the Hopman Cup to suggest that she's going to be a threat here, and she loves it. She's going for title number eight in Melbourne, and little query over her ankle, but she's been very, very inconspicuous at Melbourne Park, which is unusual for her. She's really got her mind on the job to try and equal Margaret Court's 24th in Melbourne.
Bit of history, potentially. Hey, Leo, we haven't spoken to you for a while, but congratulations, firstly, on your Walkley Award. Appreciate
Thanks,
you coming
mate.
On, and hopefully we can talk to you through the Australian Open the next couple of weeks as well.
It'd be my pleasure.
Thanks so much, Leo.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Leo Schlenk, who is an outstanding journo, as you've highlighted there, but also a great friend of the program. We do appreciate his input when it comes to tennis. 1353 53, open line number. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the sports update. We'll have Phil Moss there, and we'll take your calls on your brush with fame.
Thursday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
Looking forward to a chinwag today, as always.
Chinwag with Cossie brings you in-depth chats with racing stars past and present.
Delighted to have a chat with you.
Hear what makes our racing personalities tick. Thursday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer affordable racehorse ownership. Here's Gay.
Dynamic Syndications are my primary syndicators, and I love training for their owners. They buy top quality, sound, athletic and beautiful pedigreed horses. I will be training for them at my Randwick and Flemington stables.
We invite you to join our Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Look, there's no easy way to do this, but I can't work here anymore. You know I love it here. In fact, you're the reason I've stayed here so long. It's just the time has come. I have got to get home for dinner.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
And as we've just heard, a marathon of tennis for Alex de Minaur yesterday, defeating Gilles Simon in the semi of the Sydney International in the morning, then backing up 5 hours later to beat Andre Seppi in the final 7-5, 7-6. It was the 19-year-old's maiden ATP title. Petra Kvitova won the women's title, denying Ash Barty her first WTA title. The world number eight beat the Aussie in three sets, the third 7-6. The Australian Open starts tomorrow in Melbourne. Aussies in action on the show courts include de Minaur. He'll take on Pedro Sousa. Ash Barty plays Luksika Koopman. James Duckworth has the number two seed, Rafael Nadal. Bernard Tomic plays Marin Cilic. Novak Djokovic is the top seed, Simona Halep, the women's. In the first one-day international between Australia and India at the SCG, the Aussies won the toss, elected to bat and recorded a serviceable 288. Peter Hanscom top scored with 73 off 61 balls. India unable to reach the 289 for victory due to a very disciplined bowling and fielding display, making 9 for 254, the Aussies winning by 34 runs. Jai Richardson, the star for the home team, taking 4 for 26 off 10 overs. The second match of three is on Tuesday in Adelaide. In the A-League, the Central Coast were up 2-0 over Wellington, only to have the Phoenix come back at home to win 3-2. Melbourne Victory defeated Newcastle 2-1. The home side's two goals were their only shots on target, demonstrating a performance well below their best. Tonight, Sydney host Adelaide and Perth host the Wanderers. Sydney will be looking to reverse the result from its 7-point loss to Illawarra a week and a half ago when they take on the Hawks in the NBL match in Sydney. The Kings are looking to go 3-from-3 after wins over Cairns and New Zealand. Last night, Brisbane 102 beat Adelaide 90. The James Cummings train exhilarates, his second favourite behind stablemate to Sort for this year's Golden Slipper after an outstanding effort to come from near last to win the Magic Millions yesterday on the Gold Coast. It was another feature race win for champion jockey Karen McAvoy, adding his wins last year that were in the Everest and Melbourne Cup. 19-year-old Declan Rice scored for West Ham to give the Hammers a 1-0 victory over Arsenal in the EPL overnight. Elsewhere, Brighton 0, Liverpool 1. Burnley 2-1 over Fulham, Cardiff and Huddersfield nil all, Crystal Palace 1, Watford 2, Leicester 1, Southampton 2. Meantime at the Asian Cup, Iraq, Iran and Saudi Arabia are through to the knockout stage after wins overnight. And third round this morning at the Hawaiian Golf Open, it's just underway. Matt Kuchar on top at 14 under, Andrew Putnam is next, he's one shot back. Mark Leishman is 5 off the lead, he's at 9 under in a tie for 5th. Just quickly back to you. I mentioned Andy Murray very quickly. Rafael Nadal has come out in support for Murray in his decision to retire due to that injury, saying that when you're going on court without a clear goal because you cannot move well and you're in pain, then it's time to make that decision. He's saying that it's more for his mental health than anything else, because when you're not ready to retire, I can imagine it would just do your head
gnaw
in,
away
wouldn't it?
At you, wouldn't it?
Would just do your head in when your body won't do.
Your body's
do
letting you down.
What you know it can do, but just won't do.
Yep.
And it will be a loss to British tennis as well, because that 2013 Wimbledon final, out of a country of 61 million in the UK, nearly 17.5 million watched that Wimbledon final. Mm. It's extraordinary.
It was an amazing
percentage.
Can we put that into perspective? So from an Australian point of view, that would be the equivalent of about 7 million people watching.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of a country of 25 million.
Yeah, a country of 25 million.
Extraordinary.
Actually, maybe even more.
The attention abroad. But the question remains, what will Mrs. Murray Sr. do now?
She's got to fret over something.
Because she follows him
everywhere.
All around the world. Mm. Yeah.
To think...
Helicopter mum. Sounds like me.
To think that... When he first broke onto the tennis scene, the biggest thing about him was that he was a survivor of the Dunblane massacre.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And that was everyone used to talk about, and then very quickly they were talking about his tennis.
Andy Murray, the tennis player.
Yeah,
And we should make mention too, Tan, Natasha Faithfull, the young West Australian jockey.
She had a terrible
fall in Albany yesterday morning at track work and suffered extensive injuries, and look, reports aren't good, so fingers crossed for Natasha, but that's not good news. Once again, highlights the innate dangers in the sport, isn't it?
You don't begrudge the jockeys anything. The danger, the fasting, you know, the hours.
No.
But, you know.
It's a tough life.
It's a tough life,
Very much so, yeah. Thank you, Tan. We do appreciate that. Sports update there. And just on that, an ex-colleague of yours, friend of ours of the program here, Andrew Webster, wrote on Friday about Ty Anglin going to the cricket with Tommy Berry, which was great to see.
Mm.
Didn't see it, but great to hear about the fact that he was able to get to the cricket.
Exactly.
So that was fantastic. 1353 53 is the open line number. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. My daughter's brush with fame was having JT give her his headgear at a Knights v Cows game. She is now 17 and a rugby league tragic. My brush with fame is regularly seeing Kurt Fernley training around Newcastle when I'm jogging or walking the dog. What a legend. That's from Muzz. Good one, Muzz. I do appreciate that. Master Monkey says, I've had 127 brushes with fame. I keep a record of each one in my exercise book. If I spot a famous person, I go straight up and introduce myself. So far, I've been brushed by all 127. I can totally understand that, Master Monkey, to be honest. I don't know you.
As we say all the time, very interesting take on
it. He looks at world in a different way, doesn't he? Speaking of people looking at the world in a different way, given the fact that Liverpool were able to win 1-0, it is great to welcome Phil Moss to the program. Hello, Mossy.
Good morning, Jimmy. That's the first time I've heard you speak highly of Liverpool.
It pained me to do it. Mo Salah got another goal. It was a penalty.
Well, he earned it, and he dispatched it, as we'd expect. Ray, isn't that right?
Correct. Yeah. Moved 7 points clear. 7 points clear, the good guys now. But, of course, Man City played tonight, I think.
Phil? No, not until Tuesday.
Tuesday,
so
okay.
That just leaves a little extra time for the pressure to mount on them to get their result when they do take the pitch. And they're playing Wolves.
They're playing well, Wolves.
Well, Wolves knocked us out of the FA Cup the other day, and they've got Manchester City. This is the, I think from memory, was the first points they dropped away to Wolves earlier in the season. So yeah, look, it won't be a walkover, but at home, Manchester City will definitely go in as favourites. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, certainly things are heating up.
All right, well, we're at the EPL. Let's stay there now. West Ham 1-0 against Arsenal, so they've faltered of late, Arsenal, and now find themselves in the sights of the aforementioned Manchester United.
They do. They will. Manchester United obviously don't play until tonight, which is a big test for them, Jimmy, as you will well know, away to Spurs. But yeah, look, it was. You would call that a falter, definitely. Arsenal away to West Ham. Declan Rice scored a really nice goal in the 48th minute. Arsenal remain fifth, and I think they've got a better goal difference than Manchester United, so they should stay there regardless of the United result. But that's not a result that will go down well with Arsenal fans at all.
Exactly. A couple of results overnight. Chelsea 2-1 against Newcastle, just to keep them relatively in touch in the title hopes. But as you mentioned earlier, Phil, the big game is tomorrow morning, 3:30 a.m. our time, Spurs v Man U, Jimmy's team, and then Man City play Wolves, as you said, on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's right. I think the headline out of the Chelsea game was Willian saying that his future was at Chelsea, despite fresh reports that Barcelona are after him, and he scored a wonderful goal, wonderful winner in that game to ram home those headlines from pre-match. Spurs, this is the biggest test for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. There's no doubt about that. Since he's been in charge, they're 5 from 5 wins. Cardiff, Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Newcastle and Reading in the FA Cup third round. So Spurs away is his sternest test, but he's got the team playing such better football, and the confidence is great. He's got the likes of Pogba firing, so you can see he's really brought a freshness and a happiness to the dressing room, which was sadly lacking season to date. So that should be a great game. There's no doubt about it. There's Spurs have gone 3 wins and a loss in their last 4, and we just mentioned Manchester United's record, so should be a cracker, that one.
Tip a winner?
I'm going to go with... I think Manchester United could get the points away from home, Jimmy, just to make your day, mate.
I just got to pick myself up off the floor here. Anyway, $3.40, Man United at tab.com.au, $2.05, Tottenham, and $3.50 is the draw. Let's stay overseas, but talk Australian football. 3-0 against Palestine, the response we wanted. And maybe, just maybe, Chris Economides has said, hey, I'm the guy you need to be picking all the time, aren't he?
He certainly put his hand up, didn't he? And he was kind of a late inclusion in the squad, Economides. But, yeah, look, he's certainly impressed. If I go back to the Oman game, there were certainly some flashes there where you thought he could really add something here. He's been in great form in the A-League for Perth Glory under Tony Popovich. And I thought his performance the other night, particularly that the assist for the A1 Bill goal, was outstanding. Just made his half a yard on the edge of the box and delivered a delightful ball. And apparently him and Mabil had spoken about that in training the day before.
Oh, is that right?
A couple of times. Yeah, well, he said to Mabil, every time you see me cut in on my right foot and get my head up, just make that run in behind on an angle and I'll find you. So it's great when things off the training pitch translate into game day and help get the points. But great reaction from the Socceroos, as you said. Big news, Jimmy, in Milos Deganek announcing overnight that he's going to be moving from Red Star Belgrade to Saudi Arabian powerhouse Al Hilal. Is that good news for the Socceroos? No, because he's been playing for Red Star and he played in the Champions League against Liverpool and PSG and starred in those games. And he's got the move out of that. He's 24. In my opinion, far too young to head for those sort of leagues. With all due respect, I just think Red Star and Champions League is where he needs to be. But he's made the decision and we have to move on.
What would be the numbers difference there? What would his pay be?
You've got
to make those considerations.
Yeah, a lot of zero.
Yeah,
right.
Couldn't even guess. But that is, look, you know, you never begrudge any player making hay while the sun shines.
No.
He's obviously cashing in, but and it might be a Sainsbury situation where he goes there for a couple of years, gets financial stability and security, and then heads back to Europe. So
exactly.
let's hope that's the case.
Hey, well, Phil, Wednesday morning, basically the Socceroos just need a draw against Syria to advance. That they should be able to win that game.
Yeah, definitely. They'll go in as clear favourites, Ray, but Graham Allen's come out on the front foot and said that they will go all out attack. Great to see Jamie McLaren score his first goal in 10 caps. I think that'll be a massive weight off his shoulders. He's starting to get compared or mentioned in the same breath as Scott McDonald, who we know had a wonderful club career, but just couldn't get off the donut for the Socceroos. But McLaren's done that now. Great goal the other night too.
Fluffed his first option.
He was caught.
He did, but made up. That was a wonderful finish from his head from the Tommy Loggins cross. That's not easy to execute, and he made it look very easy.
Yeah. All right, A-League, let's go to some of the results that we've had already in round 13. Melbourne City 1-0 against Brisbane Roar. The Phoenix, Roy Krishna, 2-3-2 against the Central Coast Mariners after they were up at half-time, and then the victory 2-1 over the Jets.
Come on, Jimmy, you know you want to trot that line out. The Phoenix, they just keep rising.
Oh, mate, Mark Rudin, no wonder he's in demand.
Yeah, well, that's it. Adelaide United, some headlines coming out before the game that Adelaide United are interested in putting him in for Marco Kurtz, and which is interesting because Marco Kurtz, on the face of it, has done a very good job with Adelaide since he's been there. And, they're in sixth position at the moment. They play Sydney away today, which we'll talk about in a second. But, certainly Mark Rudin is making every post a winner for Wellington. He's turned the club around. They've had their best unbeaten run, I think, in their history. And they were 2-0 down yesterday against the Mariners until Kai Rolls got sent off for the Mariners and came back to win 3-2. And I don't get this with defenders. The rule has changed. So Kai Rolls got sent off for a challenge that brought a penalty, but he didn't go for the ball. Now, the new rule is if you go for the ball and you miss the ball, it's a penalty, but you stay on the pitch. Kai Rolls didn't go for the ball, much like Daniel Bowles last week for Brisbane, and they both get sent off, so their team cops a penalty and they're playing a man down.
It's tough. Hey, Phil, a couple of big games today. Sydney FC must-win game against Adelaide United because Perth Glory are just sneaking away. They go take on the Wanderers this afternoon. They've got a three-point buffer on top at the moment, Perth Glory.
Yeah, spot on, Ray. And Melbourne Victory getting that win last night kept them in touch with Perth. But if Perth win today, they maintain that six-point lead. Sydney FC must bounce back against Adelaide today from that disappointment over in Perth. Again, it was the first half, Ray. We've spoken about it. Steve Corrick has spoken about it. The players have spoken about it. So they have to start today strongly to get that win over Adelaide because they'll be bouncing after beating Melbourne Victory in the New Year's clash. So, a big game out there at Jubilee. The crowds out there have averaged about 12,000. The atmosphere's been brilliant, so you'd imagine there'll be a big crowd behind Sydney today. And I'm going to tip Sydney at home. I think they'll have the firepower. Lafondra's on fire, scored a great goal in the loss the other night. So I think they'll get the points there. And I'm going to tip Perth Glory at home against Popovich's old club, Western Sydney Wanderers.
That'll be interesting, the Wanderers. This is a big one for them. Competition leaders away from home, they've got to stay in the game.
Absolutely, Jimmy. And look, they've been inconsistent at best. I think that would be very kind to Western Sydney Wanderers.
Can't score, Phil.
That's right. Mm. And they've got Oriel Riera, who is a goal scorer. He scored 15 for them last season, but he just hasn't found that form. There's been a lot of talk of whether he'll stay or go back to the Spanish second division, and maybe that's playing on his mind, but certainly they need him. Rolly Bonavarsia, Bomio Han, they've got some real quality. They just haven't been consistently performing well enough to get the results they need, but they're sitting in eighth spot on 9 points, and sixth spot is 19 points, so they're 10 points behind Adelaide. They need to get a hurry on if they're going to make something of this season.
Mm. Yeah. Good on you, Phil. We do appreciate that, mate. Look, I hate to tell you, but next week I'm away, and you will actually have to come into the studio to do the program. You can't do it from the phone, okay? Just to let you know.
Can't do 3 hours from the phone?
No.
You got to help us out next week, Phil.
That's all right, Ray. You're in the house, so I'll be in the house, mate.
Terrific.
All I'm wanting is you to win the quiz, okay?
I'll do that for you, Jimmy. And magnificent job through the week, Jimmy, hosting the weekly program. Great job.
It was good fun. You and I helped.
Especially when you spend 3 days on the Gold Coast.
Well, look, someone's got to do it, Phil. I put my hand up for it.
That's very good.
You have a great day, guys. Great to talk to you.
Go on, you, Phil.
Phil Moss there, our football expert. 1353 53 is the open line number. The brush with fame, just before we get to callers. There's a long SMS coming in from Buddy Boy, whose dad used to work down at Wagga Wagga. He reformed the Wagga Kangaroos, and as a result of that, he used to get the perk of being able to sit in the dressing shed when all the touring team came. The one that struck me most was I remember Bobby Fulton playing for Manly. I was starstruck just watching him. I had the privilege of being in many great football teams' dressing sheds over the years, even when I was old enough to go to the Wallaga Leagues Club and have a drink with the team. As Dad used to keep saying, sit in the corner and don't move. Can you imagine it?
I can imagine.
Absolutely. As a kid, they were good times, and after the games, I would be allowed to get signatures. Good on you, Bunny Boy. That's a good one. Yeah. Hello, Gary.
Hey, guys. How you going this morning?
Morning,
really
Gary.
Well, mate.
That's the way. Hey, yeah, boys, I've had a couple of brushes with fame. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of beers with the great Bar Lamb, Terry Lamb, in the Bay Hotel.
I thought he drank vodka orange.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he was drinking on the day, but yeah, I had a couple of beers.
Okay.
The big Daz Rieslake used to come out there too, and I had a couple of beers with him out there at Catho.
What a legend.
And but the big story I wanted to tell you was I ride bikes, see, and I used to go down to the Phillip Island Grand Prix and super bikes all the time.
Yep.
And one year I was down there, I was in the VIP up pit top, and I was trying to get, it was just not long after Mick Doohan had retired, and I wanted to get a couple of signatures off of him, and I was talking to a few people, and one of the official blokes there said, oh, look, mate, if you go down here, around here and around there in this car park, you'll probably be there pretty soon. You'll be able to get a couple of them just on your own. So anyway, I wandered down to this spot, and I'm waiting for about half an hour. Anyway, this car comes flying in the car park and big handbrake and pulls up, and I'm expecting Mick to get out. Anyway, these other two dudes get out. It was Daryl Beattie and Barry Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
The great Barry Sheen. Anyway, I'm talking to them. I've got my Mick Doohan gear. I've got a couple of hats and things like that, and I've got some for the GP as well. So I've got them to sign that. Well, I'm getting them to sign that, and I'm talking to them, shaking hands. This Mercedes pulls up, and who gets out of it but Mick Doohan?
Yeah.
So I get a whole lot.
Got the trifecta.
Yep. It shakes the whole bit, you know, the big chat and everything else. So. Yeah, that was my biggest brush.
Right?
Like it.
Good story,
good,
Gary.
Yeah. You know, Daryl Beattie, he used to do the program, fishing program,
yeah,
was
before
it?
Before our show
at when we were at Ultimo. And I tell you what, you wouldn't meet a nicer bloke.
Lovely fella. Yeah.
Really good fella.
Really great blokes they were.
Yeah.
He was a fantastic bloke.
Good one, Gary.
And
he's putting that asterisk next to your name there.
Barry Sheen met his first wife when she rang up to use his... racing leathers for a photo shoot. She was a model.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, all right, love.
I'll come along to that one,
I'll
too.
I'll come along. Yeah. Make sure I get the
move on. Yeah.
All right, okay. No, that's what I was thinking. Don's on the line. Hello, Don.
How you going, Jimmy?
Morning, Don.
Yeah, mate, my brother's playing must have been a school thing. Sharky Raymond, the boxer.
Yep.
The middleweight.
Where'd you meet him, Don?
I went to go to school with him at Danny Doo.
Oh, okay.
At Danny Doo?
Yeah, he came from Danny Doo.
Another one from Danny Doo, eh?
Well, there's the third sports star from Danny Doo.
There's about four. Brian Johnson.
Yes.
Malcolm Fitzgerald.
Ah.
Louis Bowman.
Of course.
Yeah.
And Sharky Raymond.
And Richard Paul, Big Davey Abbott.
Dave Abbott. What sport?
Rugby league.
Dave Abbott.
Play for the West Division and the Amco Cup.
Oh, okay. 1974.
Ellery, wasn't it?
Coached by Johnny King.
That's right.
Yeah, he died quite young. He had cancer and a throat.
TV Ted. Yeah, that's right. So.
Yeah.
Oh, good on you, Don.
My brother's David. Let's go and watch him training at Bernie Hall Gym at Goulburn Street in Sydney.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go, Sharky Raymond. Yeah, my dad used to think he was a great, fantastic boxer. Back in the day, Jim, when we used to have a lot of boxing on free-to-air TV.
Yeah,
when
he
was a kid.
Called Bricky Squire.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And back in those days, you could watch a lot of boxing on free-to-air TV.
Yeah, right.
When I was a kid.
Who broadcast?
I can't remember now, but it was on quite often. And,
yeah, okay.
You could see Hector Thompson fought, all those sort of blokes who weren't quite world-titled ready, but yep. You know, fighting for Australian titles, things like that. So, yeah, there you go.
Good call, Don. Mm. Nice one. Old Dunny Doo getting a mention again. Sporting capital out there. Some great sports people from that area. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We've got Trent Lansgar. We've got your calls. And we'll also be announcing our winner of today, the contribution for your brush with phone. There's been some very good ones.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to a winning day. Racing HQ is the complete package of all the day's vital racing information.
She'll get a lovely run just in behind the speed.
She's got a win in her very soon.
From 10, we'll preview the major New South Wales meet. And you'll hear from all the newsmakers, trainers, jockeys and owners. Racing HQ is required listening every morning on Sky Sports Radio.
60 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology.
Minimum financed amount $1,000. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details.
60 months interest-free store-wide. Big brands, big savings. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance on now.
The catalogue for the 2019 Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale is out now. 786 yearlings on offer from March 3 to 6 at a renovated Oaklands Junction. A new look venue, the same English passion. Catalogue available at inglis.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Gibbs and Max Federer.
We are all really fortunate to be seeing this right now. You can tell grandkids about this one.
It's crazy moments in my life, and I can't believe I'm actually I've won again.
I was wondering when that might get produced this morning. Anyway,
it's going to be a very emotional 2 weeks for you, Roman, especially on the back of the news that we got from Leo Schlenk thing. This could be it. So we'll have to wait and see with that one. Obviously, an emotional time. 1353-53 is the open line number. Trent Lansgar, our Victorian listener,
is
on the line, ready to go. Hey, Trent.
Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Even I've just had to wipe away a tear and just use that heartfelt thoughts about the 2 weeks at Melbourne Park and how Roger Federer is going to perform.
You'll get out there, won't you, Trent?
I won't be going out there, Ray. I'll be in the office for the 2 weeks and might even try and pop the mug up on Sky Racing 1 during the night sessions in particular, just to let the punters know what's going on. There'll be plenty in the morning that can be discussed with Kristen Farr, Jamie Rogers, Quinny, he can get himself as well. But we'll concentrate on the night, but it always is a great 2 weeks.
And when Trent says he'll be in the office for 2 weeks, he will literally be in the office for 2 weeks.
Bed.
Do you take, a week's worth of clothes in and say, right, this is what I've got, take the toiletries in and...
You do need a change, Jimmy. And Ray is familiar with the toiletries bag. Don't worry. This is well thought out, Jimmy. Mm. This isn't spur-of-the-moment stuff that occurs.
And I think that's where the problem starts. Anyway.
I think we better move on.
Yeah, all right. Let's go. Big Bash League. We've got plenty of games coming up now.
We do. If you want to leave a Homer Simpson-style imprint on the couch today, this is your best excuse. The matches are one after the other after the other. From 2:45 this afternoon at Spotless Stadium, you've got the Sydney Thunder $2.20 and the Adelaide Strikers $1.68. I'll just mention the favourites for the high bet. For the Thunder, Shane Watson $3.50, while for the Strikers, Travis Head and Jake Weatherald, they're both at $3.75. Then 6:35 at Cadinia Park in Geelong, GM HBA Stadium, the Melbourne Renegades are $1.80 and the Brisbane Heat $2.05. Marcus Harris $3.25, Renegades high bet. Chris Lynn, $3 favourite for the Heat High Bat. And then 9:35 this evening at Optus Stadium, the Perth Scorchers, $1.68. The Sydney Sixers, $2.20. For the Scorchers High Bat, Cameron Bancroft at $3.75. While for the Sixers High Bat, Mozon Rex, Daniel Hughes and James Vince, they're sharing favouritism at $4. But there's a great excuse, fellas, to not see sunlight during today.
Exactly. We're actually going out to the Kings this afternoon against the Illawarra Hawks. Also, Cairns versus Melbourne United.
Right. Where are you sitting? Just out of interest. Actually,
Well, Tanya purchased tickets online yesterday. I'm not sure where we're sitting, Tanya. Where were we sitting? Yeah.
Not in your normal seats. That's where you're sitting.
No,
I can't believe, Tanya, you went out and bought tickets. With the amount of pull that you two Sydney sporting power couple, I tell you what, once the Kings learn about the fact that you are going out there, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if in the membership department, the ticketing department out there at Kings, that someone is being berated over the fact that Ray Thomas and Tanya Thomas have had to buy tickets.
I'll tell you what, James, I say you're a hard man. We better move on. What are the odds for the Kings being the Illawarra Hawks here, Trent?
The amazing thing for yourself, Ray, and especially the Jimmy, I didn't realise they allowed courtside seats to be purchased by the public.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is. At such discounted rates.
Yeah, exactly. I would have thought the Sydney Kings, they're top of the ladder, they're flying, but good on you, Ray. They are $1.33 to win the day against the Illawarra Hawks at $3.35. And looking to avenge last week's defeat in Wollongong.
Yes.
The line for the game is 7.5 there. That's the $2.50 tip-off there. And $5.20 in Cairns. You have the Taipans, $2.55. Melbourne United, $1.52. The line there is 4.5.
They are the second leg of my sporting multi for this week. Kings into Kings. So go the Kings today. A-League?
We've got the two games to complete. Round 13, 6 o'clock tonight at Jubilee Oval. Sydney FC, they're $1.95 against Adelaide United. And then 8 o'clock across the Nullarbor. Perth are $1.55 against Western Sydney. Two games in the EPL in the early hours of tomorrow morning. A 1:15, Everton are $1.70 at home to Bournemouth. But don't worry, Jimmy, we're worried about Tottenham and Manchester United. 3:30 in the morning, Tottenham $2.05, the draw at $3.50, and Manchester United $3.40. NFL playoffs on at the moment, and the Australian Open begins tomorrow. There's plenty of markets. You can check them all out at tab.com.au.
A couple of big bets on the tennis too, I see, Trent.
Ray, there are a couple of unpatriotic punters.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning we had $20,000 at $1.42 on Jana Yastremska against Sam Stosur. Yastremska is a young Ukrainian. She's progressing well through the women's ranks. And then during the afternoon yesterday, $50,000 at $1.30 on Jack Sock against Alex Bolt.
Yep.
And both of those matches will be on Tuesday. But there's a couple of reasonably significant bets. I haven't seen your bet on Roger Federer yet, Ray, but I'm sure it's coming.
It won't be a blip on the radar. What is the betting like, mate?
The betting is strong. I will be honest, Ray, there hasn't been a really good go in the winner market for the men. It's dominated by Djokovic and Federer, which Leo Schlink mentioned earlier. But in the women's, it's a lot more open. We have had one bet of 4,000 at 13 on Alina Svitolina. And Ash Barty's going to be popular, particularly after how well she's played in Sydney. And there'll also be something on Alex de Minaur as well after winning last night there at Ken Rosewall Arena. But it's a great 2 weeks, and it'll get underway from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Good on you, Trent.
Thank you, Trent. We do appreciate that. Trent Langscale from tab.com.au. Talk about making a Homer Simpson-style imprint on the couch. We've got the Cowboys up against the Rams. That's starting at 12:15 local time. The game at the moment into the second quarter, the Chiefs 17, leading the Indianapolis Colts 7.
Tracy,
Kansas
what's
City there? Chiefs. No, but I'll sit down and have a look at it. I'll sit down and have a
look. Call us, James. Got Neil on the line.
Yeah, righto. G'day, Neil.
G'day there. How are you?
Really well, mate.
Yeah. I was at the SCG one day, and unfortunately I've got a country ticket. I used to use what was my dad's country ticket. And I was into the member stand, and I had this bloke had his back turned to me, just having a beer, and he turned around and was turned around to be Keith Miller.
Oh. Great Keith Miller, hey?
Oh. Mm.
Great Keith Miller.
Did you say g'day, Neil?
And I said, g'day. I said, gee, I tell you what, Keith, I'd love your autograph. He said, listen, he said, you give me yours. He said, no one's asked me that for 10 years.
What a legend.
We had a couple of beers and a bit of a chat, and Yeah, that was in 1960, 61 West Indies.
Oh, yeah, the great summer there. Gee, couldn't Australia do with a Keith Miller style all rounder now, eh?
Oh.
Anyway, I saw Wally Grout after that, and I said to him, look, I said, the only one autograph I can't get there is Richie Benaud. He said, give it to me. 5 minutes later, he said, keep this one too. He said, this is Sir Donald Bradford's the one as well.
All right, Neil. Great call, mate.
Hope you still got him, Neil.
Yeah. They should make a mini-series about Keith Miller. They should make a mini-series about him. Did I tell you about the time I met Keith Miller?
Did
you? Yeah, I was working part-time at the Cricketers Club of New South Wales during uni in Barrack Street in the city there.
This is your brush with fame, James.
They had a dinner, and he came in, and we introduced ourselves to him, and the bloke standing next to him was Michael Horsell, played with the Eastern Suburbs Cricket Club, and Keith said to him, what are you doing? He said, I'm at university. He said, oh, what are you doing? He said, I'm studying accounting. And this young lady walked past who was rather attractive.
Mm.
And Keith said, they're the only figures you need to be concentrating on. I thought, wow, what a line.
He's still got it.
He was about 80 years old. What a line. I thought, oh, you're the best of all time. Hello, Greg.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Really well,
morning,
mate.
Greg. Good. I'll tell you what, first the cab off the rank, I'll be home and Simpson on the couch this afternoon, I can guarantee you that.
Oh, there's lots to watch, Greg.
I have two brushes with fame. They're both rugby league legends, as far as I'm concerned. The first one was Astor Flash Gordon from Newcastle Knights.
Yes.
And the second one, Nathan Hindmarsh.
Ashley Gordon and Nathan Hindmarsh. Where'd you meet Hindy?
Well, Hindy, I work for Lifeline. I'm a counsellor for Lifeline, and I quite often meet Hindy on a regular basis, actually. And the first time I met him was about 8 years ago when he came up here to do a program with me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And same with Nathan. Nathan does a lot of work with Indigenous communities in remote areas where I work.
Yes.
In Broken Hill, Wilcannia, Ivanhoe, Lift, all those areas in the remote New South Wales. And I quite often catch up with these guys, and we do a bit of a road trip around far western New South Wales, and I'll tell you what, two of the most gentlest gentlemen you'll ever meet in your life.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. Good on you, Greg. Great call, mate, and good luck with that work that you're doing too, mate.
Yeah.
Very important work. Rod's on the line. Oh, just before we go to Rod, Dave from Wattlegrove, who's right across the quiz, he knows the ins and outs of it. We're talking about Win Mossy. Jim, you'll be down 2-1 when you get back from holiday here. Yeah,
Dave can pick it.
Ain't that the truth, Joe? Hello, Rod.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, really well.
Years ago, I was at Manly's alternative training centre, the Harbord Hilton.
Yes.
And it was a Saturday morning, and Bozo walked in, and he said, can you teach these two blokes about Aussie rules?
Yeah.
It was Phil Lowe and Malcolm Reilly.
Oh, I see.
On top of a bar stool, the condensation off my scooter glass, I drew a Aussie rules, and all I could get out of these two bombs is, where the book's offside? There's no book offside. And Bozo they turned around and he said, and they'd be fitter than you two, Fat Mark. That second training ground, mate, it was unbelievable. It was Edie's and
I hope they went. Were they playing that weekend, Rod?
I don't think it made a difference.
Very good, Rod.
Good call.
Some great calls from people today. Isn't it incredible? The brush with fame that you have. The Arnold Palmer story is a great one. We've had Terry Lamb. There's a good one came in here about Morning Boys. Early brush with celebrity was about 1974. As a 9-year-old, the biggest bloke I'd ever seen wandered into the classroom in the red Wales Bank blazer, looking bigger than Andre the Giant. It was Daryl Broman. He told us about the value of a dollar. Then he took us out to the Oval and gave us tips on our footy. It obviously didn't sink him. I'm hopeless with the money and even worse with the football in my hands. Manly man Al.
That's a good one.
Good on you, Manly man Al. Many years ago, I legged up H. Bowman on a picnic pony horse. That was no good, but little did I know. That was from J.H.
How good Hugh Bowman's become, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And this one comes in from Barnaby.
Now,
which
be careful with this one.
Yeah, I know. This is interesting,
there's
though. Welcome
there
to the real world, Ray, where you have to pay as you go.
That's unfair, because we pay often. Most of the
often,
time.
Often. Can you be more descriptive than often?
Well, most of the time.
Occasionally?
Yeah, most of the time.
rarely. Those are all words used to describe.
Barnaby's tough on me there.
He is a little bit tough. Coming up on Racing HQ with Kev Wolfe. He's in a good mood too, Kev. Well, he was.
Well, your mood's improved with the morning's gone on.
He was until we saw him in the kitchen.
Tony, what
Zorro thought about the Dragons. Anyway, Gary Cleese previews Coffs Harbour. Ben Walker's going to take a look at Wellington. And the BSB is back tomorrow morning at 5:30. Not sure who's on the program. But,
you're on holidays, aren't you?
I'm on holidays in about 30 seconds. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Where are you going, James?
We're going up to Queensland.
Just been there.
Yeah,
should've
I know. I'm going back. By the way, Crossy, yeah, 3 days on the Gold Coast for the BSB and the Magic Millions. Geez, you can take a bullet. Yes, thank you, Crossy. Our caller of the day, though, today is our first caller, Bob, who mentioned 2003. Yeah. His young bloke was crook, and in walked Darren Beedman and said a prayer for him. And